My sermon today is about the gift of tongues. I'm continuing in the series on the kingdom keys to walking in the Spirit. And today's sermon is about the gift of tongues. Many people, and it has become fashionable today to speak as though the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit, no longer work. There's a convenient theology that has crept into the church that says, no, those gifts were only given by the Holy Spirit for the sort of 50 years after Jesus died. That first generation of apostles, and when the apostles died out, then those gifts died out as well. And it's a well-trodden, well-worn theology that's preached pretty much in a lot of churches. The only problem I have with it is not biblical at all. But it is hinged and it is propped up on the one scripture that is found in Corinthians 13, which says, where there are prophecies, they will cease, and where there are tongues, they will be stilled. And people quote just those that little piece, and they go, but even the Bible says prophecies will end and tongues will be stilled. But if you take the context, which is always what I'm suggesting you do, look at the context that a scripture is found in. And if you look at the context in Corinthians 13, Paul is making this argument. Paul is building an argument that there are some things that outlast everything else. These three remain. This is the climax of the whole argument of Corinthians 13. These three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. That's what he's trying to build towards. So in the context, he starts with, if I speak the tongues of men and angels but don't have love, that doesn't help. If I give everything that I own and I surrender my body to the flames but don't have love, that's not helpful. Paul's not saying don't give, and he's not saying don't speak in tongues. He's just saying that fundamentally, the most important issue here is love. And so if we keep sight of that, we can learn some things. But in the context of that, Paul is juxtaposing the current set of circumstances we're in and what it will be like when we're face to face with Jesus. So Paul says, now we know in part and we prophesy in part, but then we shall know fully, even as we are fully known. For now, we see through a glass darkly, but then we shall see him face to face. Are you tracking? He said, so because he says, now where there are tongues, now they will cease. Where there are prophecies, they will be stilled. And we've spoken about this before. When I see Jesus face to face, do not come up and speak in tongues to me. It's not helpful to me. Like, hey, Greg, I have a prophetic word. Jesus. I don't need a prophetic word when I'm face to face with Jesus. I need a prophetic word now sometimes. Right? So that's just to lay that theological platform for you. Because some people get knots in their strings. Oh, tongues are not for today. No, tongues are for today. Now, let me just dispel some rumors about tongues, because this is what I used to believe. I used to believe that tongues are an ecstatic outburst that you have no control over. So I used to believe. Before I spoke in tongues, that's what I believed. I believed, this was my picture, before I understood the ways of the Spirit, I thought you're there and you kind of work yourself up into a devout moment. That's what I used to believe. And if you work yourself up into a devout moment enough and you've behaved yourself enough this week, like you've lived like holy, and then the Holy Spirit kind of pounces on you and speaks ecstatically through you, and you kind of lose control for a minute, and then he lets you go and you come back to yourself and you go, oh, what did I just say? That was my picture. And I think it's a picture for a lot of people about the way tongues works. Tongues does not work that way at all. And that is informed primarily from people's perspective of what happened on the day of Pentecost. Because on the day of Pentecost, there were 120 in the upper room, they were praying, and God turns up the stereo system of Jerusalem, and all of Jerusalem hears the sound of a hurricane, the roar of a mighty wind blowing through the city. And there's not a leaf moving. The roar, the sound, the mighty sound of a rushing wind coming out of heaven. And so Jerusalem is in a turmoil. Everybody's out in the street. What is going on? They can hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind and nothing stirring. No one's getting blown off their feet. But in the upper room, tongues of fire appear above all the 120, and they start to speak in tongues, languages of men that they've never spoken before. And so they're just excited. They come out of the room just excited. They know this is what Jesus told them to wait for. They didn't know what to expect, but now suddenly, imagine if we're in this room and just in this time of worship, and suddenly we hear a violent wind, and you look up and everybody's got flames over their head. We'd all be like, would you be like, oh, that's nice, I'm glad. No, we would all be a little excited too. And so they burst out of the room like, this is what Jesus told us to wait for. And they're speaking in languages that, like, what am I saying? I don't know. But they're speaking in tongues, and people start repenting and changing their lives. And they realize, he understands the language I'm speaking. And the whole of the city, who's in turmoil already, are out in the street and hearing them proclaiming the wonders of God. One of the things that God gives to everybody who wants is the gift of speaking in tongues, which will enable you to stir up some things in your spirit. And I want to talk today about the gift of tongues. There is so much I want to say. I'm going to narrow it down to just 3 points and 2 subsections. Because there's so much richness in this gift, so much that God intends for our life and for our beauty. So I want to take you to various places in Scripture. But I want to say firstly, the first point, that tongues is a gateway gift. In other words, it leads, if you start tongues, it leads to you using all sorts of other gifts. Okay? It's a gateway gift. And it's the initial evidence, most often, of the Holy Spirit's baptism. It's not always. We cannot say that in the book of Acts, every single time somebody was baptized in the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. It simply just doesn't bear out in it. But it is the majority of times the defining signal that somebody was baptized in the Holy Spirit. The difference between being baptized in the Spirit and having the Spirit dwell on the inside of you, you cannot be born again without the indwelling presence of God. But it's like you drank some water and are full with water, or somebody takes you and throws you in a swimming pool. Now you're baptized in water. The Holy Spirit indwells every believer, but not every believer is baptized in the Spirit. Are you tracking? You cannot be born again except by the Holy Spirit indwelling you and giving you life. So when believers came to this place where they got baptized, thrown into the deep end of the things of the Spirit, most often the evidence was speaking in tongues. Jesus was very excited about the coming of the Holy Spirit. He said, it's better that I go so that he can come. Jesus called him the promise of the Father. Jesus was very excited about this, to the place where he commanded his disciples, you're not allowed to preach. You're not allowed to preach. My commandment is to go throughout the world, but don't you dare leave Jerusalem until the promise of my Father has empowered you. I'm not interested in you doing this in your own strength. I'm not interested in the wisdom of men. I'm not interested in the application of force. I'm not interested in the coercion and the coagulation and the vision casting of men. What I'm interested in is do not go out into the world to preach this gospel without the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And so when they waited, one of the first signs, and most often the most regular demonstration was this. So I want to take you to the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, and I'm just going to show you this very briefly. When the day of Pentecost came, verse 1, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Let's go to Caesarea, Cornelius' house in Acts 10. At Caesarea, there was a man called Cornelius, and while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. And they were astonished, the people with Peter, that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles because they heard them speaking in tongues. And they said, okay, oh, God has given them his Spirit because they're speaking in tongues. That same thing that happened to us in Jerusalem is happening to the Gentiles. And it was that mechanism. God used the gift of tongues to initiate the church, and God used the gift of tongues to initiate the understanding that the church was made up of not just Jews, but Gentiles equally. And you didn't have to obey the law. You didn't have to become Jewish to receive the things of the Spirit. You could be a Gentile and receive the things of the Spirit. Isn't that interesting? Tongues was an initial, it was a gateway gift, it was the breakthrough gift that God gave to announce a change, a new season that was coming. In Ephesus, in Acts 19, Paul took the road through the interior, arrived at Ephesus, and when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So it's a gateway gift, and it's the one that is most often the first evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, I know a lot of people who've been taught their entire life that tongues is going to lead you into error. And so when they get baptized in the Holy Spirit, they resist speaking in tongues because it's not something they desire. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit work by eager desire. That's what it says at the end of Corinthians 12, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, and I will show you the most excellent way. Corinthians 13 is about the love of God. Corinthians 14, 1, follow the way of love and now eagerly desire spiritual gifts. If you want manifestation gifts to flow in your life, the Holy Spirit works them through your desire and cooperation. This idea that the Holy Spirit's going to pounce on you and use you to do what he wants and then let you go afterwards is a complete misnomer. It is a fallacy. The Holy Spirit does not want to use you and then let you go. He can do whatever he needs to do. There is nothing in all creation that can resist his power. What the Holy Spirit wants to do is cooperate with you. And so when it comes to manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit, he's going to invite you to co-labor with him. He's going to invite you to participate with him, and he's going to ask you to desire it. And so the Holy Spirit works like this. When you say, Lord, please use me, he goes, great, yeah, let me show you. But he'll come to you and he'll offer you something. If you go, oh, no, that's terrible, he goes, okay, well, that's okay. It's a gateway gift because it stimulates the flow of mysteries in your spirit. Corinthians 14:2 says this, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. This is like the flow of the Spirit of God in your spirit. When you speak in tongues, what it does is it takes and it begins to speak directly to God from your spirit. You speak to God. That's what Corinthians says. Anybody who speaks a tongue doesn't speak to men, speak to God, and they utter mysteries from within their spirit. How many of you ever had the experience that you're speaking or counseling or praying with somebody and things come out of your mouth that are good and profound and you go, yeah, I'm going to take note, that was pretty good, right? And you go, wow, that was better than I think I could do. Right? Because there are some mysteries that come up in your spirit that your spirit has the ability to grip its arms around truth. Your spirit has the ability to perceive things that your mind is not yet caught up with. And so many people talk to me about this reality of, you know, I've known something's up, but it took me a while and then it hit my brain. Then somehow somebody gave it a definition and then they go, yeah, that. But it's not the first time they heard it. Their spirit has known that for months. Just their brain took a long time to catch up. So there's this issue that your spirit can get a hold of something long before your minds do. You discern things, you know things, you have a sense of right long before you can articulate or even describe them. And this is one of the functions of your spirit. And so if we're going to stimulate this flow of revelation, because that's what the scripture says, he utters mysteries by the Spirit. So when you start speaking in tongues, you initiate a flow of the things of the Spirit of God. Now, the river of God is always in you if you believe, but tongues is a helpful catalyst for that flow to begin to just stir within you. And the mysteries of God begin to flow. And after a while, that becomes normal to reach in and access at any given moment the flow of the mysteries of God. You get access to wisdom and knowledge. That's why it's a gateway gift. If you can function in tongues, it's a hop, skip, and a jump from there to have a word of knowledge. It's a hop, skip of there to understand the purposes of God, to discern somebody's spirit, because the mysteries are flowing within you. Are you still tracking with me? It's making any sense. So this idea is the Dianoia. Dian wrote it in his book, page 55. If you want, but I thought it's a very, very helpful chapter because this is the exact idea. The Dianoia, the through thoughts, the thoughts that come through your spirit from the Spirit of God. These thoughts can be activated and stirred when you pray in tongues, because anybody prays in tongues or speaks in a tongue utters the mysteries by his spirit. This is why tongues is a gateway. It's going to be helpful to you. If you get engaged in tongues a lot, they're going to lead you to using, you know, much more hardcore gifts, right? You know, become an addict, an addict. You're going to be like, oh. It's very cool. Number two, it strengthens us spiritually. It's a gateway gift, number one. Number two, it strengthens us spiritually. It builds us up. There's something about people who have a strong spirit. In fact, Proverbs talks about this a number of times. It says, even on a sick bed, somebody's strong spirit will sustain them. That if you have a strong spirit, the Bible says of John the Baptist, it says of Jesus, he grew strong in his spirit. There's something about a strong spirit that will sustain you, that'll keep you wisdom, that'll keep you calm, that'll give you understanding. A strong spirit, no matter what the circumstances, is like a massive ballast on a ship. It just holds you steady, and it helps you go over bumps that otherwise would destroy you. It just feels like a, what happened? I don't know. Move on. So having a strong spirit is a vitally important thing, and this helps us build ourselves up. And the scriptures in Jude 20, which is the most famous scripture that is quoted in this, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus to bring you eternal life. Jude says, build yourself up in your faith, praying in the Spirit, and this will help keep you in the love of God. It builds you up. So why should I pray in tongues? Because it will develop. It builds you up. It will create a strong spirit in you. Now, praying in the Spirit, which can happen, by the way, in any language, doesn't have to be tongues. You can ask the Holy Spirit, I'm going to pray in English, and could you, or in American. I'm joking. Bad pastor. You can pray in English or American, and and say, Lord, lead me in. I want to pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit builds you up. Build yourselves up. Build yourselves up in your holy faith. Praying in the Spirit. It'll keep you in God's love. Corinthians 14:4, Paul says, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. But the one who prophesies edifies the church. The context of Paul in Corinthians 14 is he's speaking to the church and saying, listen, guys, it's unhelpful if we all speak in church in tongues. If everybody's speaking in tongues in church, that's not helpful because nobody's going to understand one another. And people who come in are just going to say, you guys are mad. He said, so here are the rules. If you're going to speak in tongues in a church, at least it must be interpreted because the interpretation everybody can understand, but the tongues nobody understands. So he says, this is the rule. If you speak in tongues and nobody interprets, then you should be quiet in the church. He said, for this reason, if you speak in a tongue, you should pray that you interpret what you just came. I love this idea of praying. If you speak in tongues, pray for the interpretation. Why? Because this flow of the mysteries of God in your spirit will help educate your mind. So I dare you, this is one of the great exercises, because oftentimes I go that, my spirit's got hold of something my brain hasn't caught up with. So there's two exercises that I love doing in that. I go, there's something here. And then I'll speak in tongues, and then I'll translate. I'll go, Lord, give me the interpretation. Because that interpretation helps your soul. Your spirit's already got it, but it helps you. Wow. So I do that, or I journal. I go, Lord, talk to me. And just let it flow out of my spirit, just what the Lord is saying. Those two exercises are the best things for me to get my spirit and my mind on roughly on the same page. Very, very helpful if you need that. But Paul says, listen, if you're going to speak in tongues, he says, I want you to understand you speaking in tongues is going to edify you. But if there's no interpretation in the church, then your speaking in tongues is only blessing you. So rather just do that at home. In fact, Paul says, it's a very interesting way Paul says this. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. That's a funny thing to say. It sounds almost like he's boasting. I don't think he is. But Paul says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Why? Because Paul knew that thing of me speaking in tongues is building me up, and I need this strong spirit to walk in all the call of God on my life. Paul's not boasting. He's going, praise God, he gave me this gift because it's my salvation. It keeps me alive under the call of God. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, in a church meeting, I'd rather speak 5 intelligible words with that you can understand than 10,000 words in a tongue. Because 10,000, if I stand up here and just speak the next 10,000 words in a tongue, it's going to take me an hour and none of you is going to get blessed, but I'm going to get built up. And Paul says, that's a beautiful thing. Stay home and do that. Build yourself up. That's beautiful. Is everybody happy? It strengthens us spiritually, is the point we're making, because it causes rest and refreshing. It builds up your spirit, and it causes rest and refreshing. So this great scripture in Isaiah 28, and it's used in various ways, but the scripture is, from stammering lips and from faltering tongue, I will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, but they would not hear. Through a different tongue, through stammering lips, God says, I will bring forth rest and refreshing. And so one of the things that's real is that I've discovered is that sometimes, you know, when you're tired and you don't know what to do and you don't know what to pray, I just go, okay, let's begin to speak in tongues. And the peace of God and the refreshing of God, the rest of God is released through my body and through my life. Do it again, Lord. Say, Greg, don't you want to know what you said? Sometimes I'll interpret. Most of the time, I'll just pray. Now, you can speak to God in tongues, because tongues is just a language. Glossolalia, it just means another language, a language that's not known to you, not known to your brain. You haven't studied this language. But there are about 2,200 give or take, 100 either side, languages on the earth. And there's at least that many, I would assume, in heaven, because Paul says, I can speak the tongues of men and I can speak the tongues of angels. So there's 2,200 languages on earth, roughly, that the Lord could give you one of those, or there's, I don't know, let's say 5,000 tongues of angels. There's a bunch of languages the Holy Spirit could give you like that, and they just flow out of you uttering mysteries. Now, here's the beauty of tongues, is you never studied the language, which means that your brain does not work. Your brain is not the source of the language that's coming out of your mouth. This is why tongues is such a valuable gift. It's such a gateway gift into all the other gifts, because it bypasses your brain. It doesn't rely on you. It doesn't rely on human effort or perspective. It goes straight to the Spirit, your Spirit connecting with the Holy Spirit, and it flows from there. And it bypasses your brain. Your brain is a very useful and very necessary servant to your Spirit. I'm not saying throw out your brain. I'm just saying your brain needs to learn to bow the knee to your spirit, because your spirit is in contact with God. Your brain sometimes is and sometimes isn't. Is that true of you? Certainly true of me. And so tongues is like another language. You can speak in tongues. You can pray in tongues. You can worship or sing in tongues. Why? Because it's a language. I can speak. I can sing. I can pray. And Paul says, when I pray, my mind is unfruitful. When I pray in a tongue, my mind is unfruitful. I'm going to get there. So you've got this beautiful reality that it causes rest and refreshing. Number 3, it's a great way to pray. It's the best way to pray, because it gives your spirit direct access to God. That's what it says. It bypasses our minds because he connects with our spirits. It gives your spirit direct access to God. It's a great way to pray. Corinthians 14:2, anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. When I was in the military, we had a thing called a hopper radio, which when you pair two radios, they hop frequency every like half a second. And only those two radios will connect like that. And so you can speak and be free, because anybody listening in on one frequency is going to hear 1/1000th of a conversation, and they're not going to know what you're saying. So this Hopper radio thing, and when you pray in tongues, it's like you get synced up with God's ear. You go, I don't know what to pray. Well, pray in tongues. You begin to pray in tongues and straight to the heart of God, coming straight out of your spirit. And Paul says, when I pray in a tongue, my mind is unfruitful. You're in direct line to the Father, bypassing your mind, bypassing the enemy's knowledge, other people's opinions, anyone's perspective. All of that is just on the side. It's now straight to the Lord. Why would you pray in tongues? Well, because you have direct access to God. But if you want your mind to catch up, there are a few things you can do. As I said, you can pray for interpretation of tongues. You can journal. You can do stuff. Corinthians 14, 13. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. This is Paul talking about in the context of the church. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. This is the reality. I have studied for exams and prayed in tongues. Cause and effect. You know, oh, Lord, help. No. I can read a novel and pray in tongues. Why? Because my brain can engage somewhere and my spirit can be praying in tongues. My spirit praying in tongues, tongues flowing out of my mouth, is not dependent on my mind. My mind is unfruitful when I pray in a tongue, Paul says. So what do I do to deal with this dilemma? Paul says, okay, I'll keep praying with my spirit, but I'll also engage my mind. So I'll let my spirit pray, direct access to God, and I'll come with my soul and my emotion and my perspective and what my heart wants, and I'll also pray in my mind. I'll say, Lord, and I'm also praying for this. So it's quite conceivable to me that in heaven, two prayers are going up from one person at the same time. Because your spirit's praying straight out of your spirit, and your mind is praying out of your mind place. You guys have gone really quiet. Is this okay? So what shall I do? I'll pray with my spirit, but I'll also pray with my understanding. I'll sing with my spirit. Sometimes in worship, I just begin to sing in the spirit, just with tongues. Why? Because I want to go further than my words have the capability to express. I feel like there's more I want to say to the Lord, and I just don't have it right now. I just break out into tongues. Why? Because I have direct access to Him. I go, Lord, this is me. Take this. I'll also sing with my spirit. But I'll also sing with my understanding. It's a great way to pray. This is the point we're making. Because your spirit goes direct access to God, but the Holy Spirit also will pray through you in tongues. The famous verse in Romans 8:26, we don't know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself will help us. And He will issue groans that are wordless. When we pray, we have this direct line to God, but we don't always know what to pray. And so in those cases, the Holy Spirit will pray through us. Now, sometimes that's through a directive. In other words, I know what I'm praying. The Holy Spirit says, pray for this, and I'm praying in tongues, but I'm also praying with my mind. And sometimes I'm just praying in tongues because I don't know what to say. And sometimes it's with a groaning that goes deeper than words. And those of you who've experienced the Holy Spirit's groanings in intercession will know exactly what I mean. If you've never experienced that, it's hard to describe. But the groanings of the Spirit, sometimes the Holy Spirit will groan in your spirit with words, without words. They're just groans. They're too deep. They're too important. Many times I've been under this groaning of the Spirit, just groan. I wish you many moments like that of the groaning of the Spirit of God in your spirit. I never forget, some years ago we were in a youth camp and this young girl manifested with demons. And I was standing there and we had three young people with us and these demons were manifesting and she, it wasn't pretty and big eyes, and they were looking at me, and I go, I don't know what to do, because I'd rebuke them, and they wouldn't go, and that's unusual. Usually they must go. So I said, you know what, I don't quite know what to do. She's writhing, it's not pretty. I said, let's just pray in tongues. So we prayed in tongues for about 30 seconds, and the demons manifested and left her. So what did you pray? I don't know, but it worked. Freedom comes. Deliverance comes. peace comes. There's power. This is not some little side issue. I thank God, Paul said, that I pray in tongues more than all of you. I thank God. This is an avenue of power. This is an avenue of the flow of God in my spirit. So why speak in tongues? It's a gateway gift. It'll usher you in to a place where you can experience many more of the gifts of God. It will strengthen you spiritually. And it's a great way to pray. Now, I'm going to close with just this reality. Some people have used tongues in a way that the scripture did not intend. So we also have to acknowledge that, because an improper use, an immature use of the gift of tongues is actually doing more damage than it's doing good. So I just want to address that very briefly, because Paul, writing to the Corinthians, where this chapter, Corinthians 14, where he's talking about tongues, he starts by calling them babies in Christ. You're infants. I can't give you milk. I can't give you food. I have to give you baby's milk. You're tiny infants. I couldn't come to you and talk to you about anything deep. The only thing I could talk to you about was who Jesus is and what he did on the cross. He goes, you guys are babies. I can't deal with you. Now, about spiritual gifts, because they wrote to him and said, hey, tell us about spiritual gifts. He goes, they're functioning in spiritual gifts. Babies, immature response, functioning in spiritual gift. And so into that context, Paul writes Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 to say, let me just apply some maturity to what is going on, because I love the fact that you guys are eagerly desiring the things of the Spirit, but let me apply some maturity, because if you don't apply some maturity, then you guys are going to, and so in chapter 11, he says to them, your meetings are doing more harm than good. In chapter 14, he says, there are some people who come into your meetings who don't understand and who are not saved, and they're going, these guys are out of their minds. So let's not just, because it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, let's not just back off and say, well, however it's expressed itself, it must be good. No, Paul writes specifically to address this issue, that there needs to be a mature response to what God is doing. And that's why he puts fathers and mothers in the house to watch over and to work with you and to help us all to a more mature expression of the things of the Spirit. So here, let me just throw out a few things. Tongues are never to impress the rest of us with how spiritual you are. I don't care. Because babies, I've led people to Jesus, prayed for them for the baptism of the Spirit. They spoke in tongues. It's like 3 minutes after they said the prayer of salvation. Boom, baptism, speaking in tongues. It's not impressive. It's not like, woo, you're deep. No, you're not deep. You just opened your heart and received the gift. So let's not try and impress one another with how deep and spiritual we are by speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is not for other people, Paul says, unless there can be an interpretation. So Paul's rule in the church about tongues is, if you're going to speak in tongues, be sure that you can interpret those tongues so that the person that is, if there's somebody sitting in the meeting, they actually get helped. I love a prophetic flow. I love an interpretation of a tongue because it actually has power to break people free. We had a word last week from Michelle, and she ministered, and some people broken heart. I'm telling you, the testimonies we've heard this week of people being broken free out of their, I love that. Just one word from heaven can break people free. Love that. One interpretation can set the body free. I love that. But I'm not interested in going, oh, you deep. And I don't want you to say that about me. That's not what tongues is for. And that desire to be deep and spiritual and to look spiritual has done more damage to the charismatic perspective in the church than it's done good. And we're not going to be part of that here. But I do love tongues. And I do hope that all of you speak in tongues. Paul says, I wish that all of you spoke in tongues. But in the church, I'd rather that you all prophesied. Because prophecy is greater than tongues in this regard, that prophecy blesses us all, but tongue blesses you. So in private, my advice and my admonition and my encouragement to you is speak in tongues as much as you can. For the reasons I gave, it's a gateway gift. It'll launch you into other gifts. It'll strengthen you spiritually, and it's a great way for you to pray. Now, some people may be sitting here and say, I've never spoken in tongues, but I'd like to. Well, On the day of Pentecost, let me just take you through what happened and how people came to this gift of tongues. The day of Pentecost says they spoke in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. In Samaria, it says they prayed for them and they placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues. When Ananias was called to go minister to Paul, he said, placing his hand on him, he said, "I've come so you can see and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Now, the Bible doesn't say that Paul spoke in tongues there. It says something like scales fell off his eyes and he got up and got baptized. But later on, Paul said, "I speak in tongues more than all of you." So we know that he got the gift of tongues. It just didn't manifest there. In Caesarea, while Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke. So sometimes when Peter was speaking, sometimes they were praying. Sometimes they laid hands on them. In Ephesus again, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. So sometimes the Holy Spirit comes, and most often the Holy Spirit comes in the book of Acts by somebody laying hands on you and praying for you and imparting a gift to you, the gift of tongues, and people speak in tongues. Now, let me just say this. I really believe in the power and the beauty of the gift of tongues, as I believe in all the gifts. And I believe in a mature use of all the spiritual gifts. The more mature we can be in them, the more blessing they bring. And if that's something you'd like, the elders are going to be up front on the left over here after the service when we close, and they'd love to pray with anybody. Lay hands on you, pray for you, see tongues come. And then the ministry team will be up here and then obviously ministering to all those words of knowledge that we come. But if that's you, nobody's forced. Many people I know have just been too embarrassed or didn't want to try in public, and so they did it at home when they were alone in their closet or, somewhere in the car. And they said, "Okay, Lord, I'm ready," and then they got tongues there. That's fine. The point is, it's not about other people. The point is, it's about you. I want to see you flowing with the mysteries of God. I want to see you in prayer about things that your brain hasn't caught up with. I want to see you strengthened in your faith. That's what I'm after.